one man who appears to be wearing a leopard print thong on his head. So definitely, I will share a link to this image if I can. It is part of a slideshow, so it is hidden from, let me see if I can, yeah, here, accessible, nope. Yeah, it is buried, it is probably a data-powered image or whatever, a data source image. So I will just put a link to it in com to the report, but it's pretty funny. L for link, you paste your link in, and then you give it a title. Check out the thong mask, enter. Boom, and then that shows up in com. It's pretty cool. All right, let's keep on rolling. BMW is moving engine production to Britain as German plants go electric. Germany's in the news again. Yeah, BMW on Wednesday said it will retool its German factories to build electric cars and components and shift manufacturing of combustion engines to plants in Austria and England as part of a broader shift towards lower emission cars. So, oh, greetings. Hello, X1. Welcome, Jazzmaz. We got a whole crew. Rat Sue, thanks for tuning in. And Bob Jonkman, welcome, welcome. Ooh, and Tope's got the dice. Tope's going to load up some dice. Maybe we'll get some double five dice stories today. It's a good time. Oh, man, speaking of Tope, I got some tea. Not, yeah, tea going in, I think. No, Dongfeng Myrin. Dongfeng Myrin today. It's a much different, I found I still had some, and so, it smells so different, and it tastes so different, it's very fun. Also, I left my window open to sleep, thinking, I had the house all closed up, and it got up to like 27 degrees, 27 C, so it was over 80, and it was hot. So I said, I'll throw the window open. Well, I didn't know that we were going to get cold. I didn't picture we were going to get cold. I woke up just colder than hell. And, man, did it mess up my startup of my day. So, I totally am glad I'm in Texas and not in Nebraska. All right. So, yeah. So, BMW is moving engine production to Britain as German plants are going electric. And Kenya, you remember the baby stealing story that we had a couple days ago? Kenya has arrested three health workers after BBC Africa Eye expose. So police in Kenya have arrested three senior medical officers for allegedly running a child traffic syndicate following a BBC investigation into the theft and sale of babies. BBC Africa Eye revealed children were stolen to order from illegal clinics and at a Nairobi public hospital. The babies were sold for as little as $400 or £300. Which we talked about before. Police chief has ordered an investigation into hospitals as well as children's homes in Nairobi. Investigations have revealed that senior medical officers were closely involved with child traffickers. Suspects have not commented. The investigation by BBC Africa Eye uncovered a trade. They're just repeating themselves again. They haven't named them, but the article does have a photo of the three people. It looks like it's two women and one man. They are not saying anything, but they do have their photos out there. Oh!
Just any vehicle except a semi-truck can pass between them relatively easy. But until now, so like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, maybe longer, no one's ever bothered to drive through there, which is great because it's a pedestrian area. It's a brick pathway, and almost everyone that walks, you know, transits that is on foot. But alas, the grounds crew has figured out that they can fit their trucks through there. So now they drive through there, and I almost get run over a couple times a week, and it annoys me. I think it's mostly the getting run over that annoys me. Anyway, if you'd like to hang out and talk during the show and listen to the news, which is what the show's actually about, not just my annoyances, I'm just sharing that with you. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, or you can go to tty.sdf.org. And once you get there, you'll land in one spot or the other. I landed on Rio today, R-Y-O, and the MOTD is, this host is named in honor of the brilliant hacker and friend, Shimizu Ryo. So, thank you for that. Also, reminder tomorrow, May 25th, is Africa Day. It's the anniversary of the African first meeting of the African Union in the 60s, Anyway, all you gotta do is launch com, C-O-M, and you press G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and boom, you will land in the Anon Radio room, hanging out with Claudia Wim and Quentin and X1, Jay LaMoth, who couldn't stay in com today. Hey, Toba's here, and we're live. Hello, hello. Is unknown left Anon Radio. See you later. And so anyway, hello. Sorry about the delay. There's work stuff going on that I don't want to... we're already so late. It's 1909 UTC. So, let's get going. We got to... let's start it up. we are, of course, definitely near the road. I don't know if we're going to hear the Harley today. Harleys are usually allergic to water. But anyway, let's go to our desktop bookmarks. Bookmarks menu. Hey, the Rivian's back. And they have a ladder and some cones. Way to go. I think they're trying to justify the expense of the electric truck by using it for work stuff, which I don't know. Anyway, death and destruction time. You may remember Australia tasered a 95-year-old lady. Well, she's dead now. Claire Nowland. Nowland. Claire Nowland, 95-year-old Australian woman, dies after being tasered by police. A 95-year-old great-grandmother died in hospital as the police officer who allegedly tased her at an aged care facility was charged with 3 offenses. Senior Constable Christian White, 33, is due to appear in court for the offense of assault occasioning actual bodily harm, common assault, and recklessly causing grievous bodily harm, which can carry a max penalty of 10 years in prison. He's due to appear at Cooma Local Court on 5th of July. Claire Nowland was tasered by police after she was found armed with a steak knife in her home at Yallambee Lodge Aged Care Facility in Cooma. Guardian Australia confirmed late Wednesday that she had died. The Nowland family have been informed of this development. Her prayers and thoughts are now with Mrs. Nowland, she said. So, just as a follow-up there. Yeah, eek, a working work truck. Yeah. So, we'll see. We're bound to get other vehicles cruising through, souped-up vehicles. I'll let you know if I see any that are notable. All right. So, who else is dead? Well, get this. In the United States, if you watch TV, if you like game shows, there's a show that you probably are familiar with, and that is called The Feud, or Family Feud. For many years, it's been hosted by our man, the one, the only, Steve Harvey, one of the original kings of comedy. It is one of the shows I like to watch over the antenna. And whenever Wheel of Fortune and Family Feud came on at the same time, I had a real dilemma. Anyhow, what this is about is to let you know. A former Family Feud participant is facing trial in Illinois for allegedly breaking into his estranged wife's home and fatally shooting her. Tim Bilfinick, at 39, is charged with first-degree murder and home invasion in connection with the violent death of his 41-year-old wife, Becky. Investigators say the couple was going through a contentious divorce and was in its final stages at the time of the shooting on February 23rd, so a couple months back. During the ongoing murder trial at the courthouse in Quincy, prosecutors have presented evidence and witness testimony that they said proved Mr. Bilfinick pried open his wife's second-story window with a crowbar before shooting her 14 times. This comes nearly 3 years after he made an ominous joke during his appearance at ABC's Family Feud, answering a question by host Steve Harvey on what his worst mistake had been on his wedding night. Mr. Bilfinick said that it was saying, "I do." The answer was second on the board, so it was a good answer for the puzzle, but he's facing between 45 years to life. So don't kill your spouse, and don't joke about it on national TV if you do. More stuff coming to us from the United States. This time, it's a dude that died, though. Yellowstone National Park says it has killed a newborn bison in the state of Wyoming after a visitor intentionally touched the animal. The visitor was trying to help the calf rejoin its herd after it got separated from its mother. The herd rejected the calf, despite repeated attempts by park rangers to reunite the young bison. Yellowstone is now investigating the incident. The calf had to be killed because it was abandoned by the herd and was approaching cars and people on the roadway, causing a hazardous situation. An unidentified white male in his 40s to 50s, wearing a blue shirt and black pants, approached the newborn bison on Saturday after the calf had been separated while trying to cross the river. As the calf struggled, the man pushed the calf up from the river and onto the roadway. The newborn animal was later seen on the road around vehicles and visitors. Interference by people can cause a herd to reject its offspring. Approaching wild animals can drastically affect their well-being and, in this case, their survival, news release said, noting that people are required to stay at least 25 yards away, or 23 meters, away from all wildlife and 100 yards away from bears and wolves. Safeties of these animals, as well as human safety, depends on everyone using good judgment and following these simple rules. So anyway, that's a little bit sad. I thought that was one of the saddest things I'd read today. Tina Turner passed today. Oh, Quentin letting me know. Tina Turner has passed. Tina Turner, famously, I believe, was she the one that wanted to dance with somebody? Oh, bit of lag in comm. Looked like it's going to be Simp Week on DG. So, on the Dubious Gold Committee, with Toba, show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. Stick around, because we're going to have a lot of fun looking at Simp and other things. It's not, LCD was worried I was going to tell him that Steve Harvey had died. Oh, I'm taking the day off the day Steve Harvey dies. Not that I'd be crying, but just that out of respect, that man has been working so much. Quentin, why? Why do people think they should touch wild animals? Indeed, indeed. It's very sad. It is the 692nd show. Only 8 more to go before 700. I'm waiting for, one day. I like it when all the numbers line up, so at 777-888-999, I think I'll have to do something silly. 666, we did the death metal show. Alright, so let's keep on a rolling. There's other news to talk about. More death, more destruction, more sadness, of course. A U.S. professor, we're staying in the U.S. a lot for this kind of stuff today. A Hunter College, not a college for hunters, but it was named Hunter. A Hunter College professor has been fired after threatening a New York Post reporter and a photographer with a machete. The journalists were trying to speak to Shelline Rodriguez about an incident in which she criticized anti-abortion activists on campus. Ms. Rodriguez followed them onto the street with a machete. Hunter College, part of the City University of New York, confirmed she'd been relieved of her duties. The reporter, Raven Fenton, along with the photographer, went to her address in an effort to speak with her after a viral video showed her criticizing anti-abortion students at the university. According to the post, she shouted, "Get away from my door, or I'm going to chop you up with this machete." There's not much clearer a threat than that. Oh, wow. This is amazing. The large cloud formation that was dumping rain has kind of floated along. But now there's like a ring of clouds, like a large ring at the edge of the horizon that I can see. And they're all just so fluffy. And it's very interesting. Really good visibility. Just really pretty. Anyway, sorry, I got sidetracked there. So anyway, don't threaten people with a machete. And if you are, and you're being recorded, don't explicitly state your intent, I guess, or do. If you do not leave, I am going to chop you up with my machete that I'm holding in my hands right now. In Germany, police have raided climate activists who block traffic. German police have carried out raids in 7 states and a probe into climate campaigners suspected of forming or backing a criminal group because of their controversial activities. Among those raided was Last Generation spokesman Carla Hendricks, whose door was broken down by armed police while she was in bed. For months, Last Generation has disrupted traffic in German cities. Chancellor Olaf Scholz has condemned their campaign as completely crazy. Four weeks in Germany, there have been a ferocious culture war about whether Last Generation can be legally defined as a criminal organization. Conservative MPs have demanded tougher penalties, while left-wingers have warned of dangerous authoritarian clampdown. About 170 police took part in Wednesday's raids on flats and other buildings in Berlin, Bavaria, Dresden, Hamburg, and elsewhere, shutting down the group's website and freezing 2 accounts. Let's see. Two activists under investigation are suspected of trying to sabotage an oil pipeline running across the Alps from the Italian coast at traced to Ingolstadt last year. Which reminds me, and we'll stop talking about this story, but reminds me, there's a movie that came out not too long ago called How to Blow Up a Pipeline, and it's pretty darn good. You probably can find it streaming by now, but How to Blow Up a Pipeline. I enjoyed that movie, and it was fun. They showed you how to blow up a pipeline, and the story of this group blowing up a pipeline. It was very entertaining. All right, we got about 10, 11 minutes to go, so we're skipping around a little bit. I'll try and get as much news as we can in. With Africa Day, well, anyway, I read African news every day, and this story came up, and it was one of these kind of graphs that's kind of like, oh, well, this is good to know. I need a cold drink, says the policeman to the driver, nonchalantly leaning against the lowered window. The sun is beating down on the windscreen of the car that's been stopped for a while on the side of a busy road. Under his cap, with glittering SAPS, which stands for South African Police Services, the officer is clearly making it clear he has plenty of time. Spinning a set of keys on one finger, he chews gum. With laced-up boots and fatigues, he has the uniform and bad habits. In South Africa, a desire for a cold drink during a roadside check is a well-known injunction to drop a few hundred rands, which is the equivalent of tens of euros, a small packet of blue notes adorned with a buffalo head on one side and the anti-apartheid hero Nelson Mandela on the other, surreptitiously slipped into the hand of the officer to avoid a fine, the impoundment, or even the police station. In a country with one of the highest crime rates in the world, the police have a sulfurous reputation for both being inefficient and corrupt. Hey, just like in the U.S. 2 of 10 murder cases are solved, according to official figures, and those who can't afford it rely instead on private companies to provide security. So what do we do? The policeman asks. At the wheel of a brand new red SUV, the 40-year-old Frenchwoman takes a quick look in the back. Her daughter is sleeping in the child's seat, and the engine's cooled down. Not convinced she's exceeded the speed limit, she hesitates, leaving a small sum of money. They want to make some money before the weekend to drink, said Luando, a 25-year-old Uber driver who was interviewed by AFP. He spends most of his time on the roads of the South African megalopolis, and he is convinced that the number of checks on the weekend is increasing. In total, the 2021 to 2022 police report, more than 36,000 roadblocks were organized by police in 1 year. That's nearly 100 a day in the country. Even if you are drunk and not fit to drive, as long as you have money, they let you go. Just as a heads up, if you're ever in South Africa and they're talking about needing a cold drink, they would like you to hand them some blue notes in the local currency, in the local rand currency there. Let's check in on comm over here real quick. Oh, we got a lot of activity here. X1. Let's see what we got going on here. Thank you. I appreciate that. let's see what we got going on here. Sorry, I was catching up on comm. Publius, that's what we call a legal threat. Publius has no patience with Leste Generation. Not because of their tactics, but because they have no real platform or constructive ideas. If you blow up pipelines, people will die. You know, that's true. You don't want to blow them up. That's why How to Blow Up a Pipeline was so interesting. They worked out a plan to blow up a pipeline in such a way that they blew up the pipe. They turned the oil off and then blew up the empty pipeline. So then, and it was in the middle of nowhere. So the only people hurt was the pipe. Anyway, hold everything. Win 11 update, 22 hours, 22H2, just dropped. New intuitive user experience and features include ability to display seconds in the clock on the system tray. Thanks, Quentin. Very important. ironically, the RAND was not developed by the RAND Corporation. All right. Anyway, sorry, I got all wound up in comm and goofing off. Which is what happens. Calm is super fun, especially during live shows. So it's fun and enjoyable, so check it all out. I went through the trouble of bypassing a paywall to copy and paste this text into a text file. So I'm going to read this story, and then we'll talk about some electricity or nuclear stuff. The Chinese government on Wednesday defended its ban on products from U.S. memory chip maker Micron Technology and some computer systems after Washington expressed concern, adding to strains over technology and security. Which is kind of silly, because the United States has fucked with China really hard on microchips and technology like that. The security review of Micron products was conducted in accordance with the law, said a foreign ministry spokesman. The Cyberspace Administration of China on Sunday said Micron products have unspecified security risks. It banned them from computers that handle sensitive information. That came after Washington, Japan, and the Netherlands blocked Chinese access to technology to make advanced processor chips on security grounds at a time when the ruling Communist Party is threatening to attack Taiwan and it's more assertive towards its other Asian neighbors. China's cybersecurity review does not target specific countries or regions. We do not exclude technology and products from any country. Companies on both sides have been buffeted by supply disruptions and lost sales revenue. Restrictions by Washington and its allies on access to chips and tools to make them hamper China's effort to develop its own chip industry. U.S. vendors have lost billions of dollars of potential sales to Chinese smartphone makers, chip foundries, and other customers. Mao complained the United States has imposed restrictions on more than 1,200 Chinese companies on security grounds without any factual basis. She accused Washington of misusing national security as an excuse to unreasonably suppress Chinese companies. Oh, look, they got the same idea I had. The U.S. government is engaging directly with Beijing to make our view clear about the Micron ban, State Department spokesman Matthew Miller said Monday. Let's see. This action appears inconsistent with the PRC's assertion that it's open for business. You know what says they're open for business? Texas a lot of times says they're open for business. They're not really. They're only open to your business if you are a right-wing demagogue or otherwise aligned with their value. Anyway, the last part says China needs a machine available only from a single Dutch company, ASML Holding NV. Hey, that's where one of my buddies works. That uses ultraviolet light to etch microscopic circuits on next-generation chips. Without that, the ruling party's efforts to develop chips for smartphones, AI, and other advanced applications are stalled. China has serious concerns about this. We should work together to jointly protect the normal trade order between us and keep the global industrial and supply chain stable. The Dutch minister, Wopke Hoekstra, said that he shared our national security concerns and gave no indication his government's position changed. So there we go. Yeah, ASML has some really cool technology. ASMR, excuse me. Publius, coming in clutch. Unlike China, which would never abuse the concept of national security, for instance, to conceal for 20 years a disaster that killed 250,000 people. yeah, Publius, if there's one thing we know, it's that trust in governments is always only good for the government. The people are always suffering. Okay, so there's a lot of other stuff going on, but we don't have a lot of time. We only have 3 minutes, so I'm going to mention just the top, the big things, and we'll go into some more detail on a few others. So Texas Republicans are upset. Ken Paxton, who is by all accounts, he was a right-wing extremist radio host who happened to have a law degree. So whenever there was an opening for Attorney General, our governor appointed him as Attorney General. And he's, like, his staff quit on him. He's pretty much been indicted but won't go to jail. Anyway, he called on I closed the wrong window and now... Anyway... Yeah, Ken Paxton should be in prison for security fraud. Anyway, Hey, are you Doreen Dutt? No, I am not. Come on, calling my phone a computer. I guess it is, technically. Boop, boop, boop. We're getting there, we're getting there. All right, here we go. Let's see. Texas House Speaker Dade Phelan was either having a stroke or was really drunk. He was slurring his words and not making much sense. He'd get up there and then he'd bang the gavel. And people would just go off of the schedule, the same schedule he was reading. They conducted the business of the state that way. He just would get up there and he would... And then he'd hit the gavel. And then someone would stand up and say, I would like to speak to oppose the bill. And then he would sit down. It was like he was having a stroke. Or aphasia or something. Anyway, that took way longer than I wanted to because I crashed my browser because I got in a hurry. There's something called micro reactors, and that's what I wanted to end on. The full-scale replica of the U.S. Department of Energy's Marvel reactor has been moved from Idaho to a facility in Pennsylvania, where it'll be used to test behavior of sodium, potassium, and lead bismuth coolants. The non-nuclear prototype, known as the primary coolant apparatus, was built in Idaho National Laboratory. So, a micro-reactor application research, validation, and evaluation will generate 100 kilowatts and is expected to begin operation by the end of 2024. All right, we're going to run out of time. I'm sorry about that, but